Good afternoon, everyone. Wonder if any of you know this exercise where you go like this, put your hand on the back of your shoulder, pat three times. Well done. Well done. I'm still here. I offer that humor via just how inspiring it is to sit and practice with each of you and to listen to you in the small groups and truly feel inspired by the fact that you are still here, in the sense that it really takes quite a determination to sit a meditation retreat. These paramis of determination, perseverance, patience is one of the paramis. Loving kindness is another one. Truthfulness is another one. We're showing up for whatever is arising in this practice. And some of what has emerged and often emerges on a loving kindness retreat is that paradox between, you know, we're generating loving kindness, but that's not always what I'm feeling. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You know, and when you hear the descriptions of these practices, they're described as the four immeasurables, or loving kindness is described as unconditional love. I mean, that's, on one level you could say that's really a tall order. You know, it's hard to experience, it seems hard to experience unconditional love. And yet, you know, we have these moments, you know, that we might even be surprised where just the heart is naturally open. You know, not when you're looking for it, not when you're looking at the carrot, or it just emerges. It just shows up, you know, maybe even passing someone in the hall, you know, someone you don't necessarily know, or maybe you haven't even noticed yet on the retreat. And there's a lot of us here. So the Buddha taught this particular practice in a developmental way in terms of the categories of people. Now, we might say, you know, I don't know where he got the idea that self is an easy person. You know, because it's really taught as starting with who is easiest, the category of beings that are easiest. And for some of you, you might feel, not actually, no, it has been, you know, easy or very opening to offer loving kindness for the self. So I'm certainly not trying to speak for everyone here. I can't possibly do that. But I'm just speaking from both personal experience and listening to yogis over the years that the self often is, and it came up today in the Q&As too, the questions, it's often difficult. You know, difficult to receive loving kindness or offer it to oneself. So once again, this is not going to be new information in terms of supportive instruction, but try not to worry about that. I mean, it doesn't, in a way, it doesn't really mean a lot, other than we're in this conditioned culture where we're in a very, if you grew up in the States, a very, very individualistic, you know, pressured, competitive culture. I'll admit that's my interpretation. You may or may not agree. But, you know, it certainly can reinforce a driving sense of perfectionism towards oneself, which doesn't leave a lot of room for open-heartedness, loving-kindness, self-forgiveness, compassion. And so we're really coming into these practices with an open mind, a curiosity, a beginning again, a learning. Okay, I'll come back again. Maybe I can generate or just offer some compassion for this heart, you know, in the way, the beautiful way that Bonnie speaks, almost like she's talking to us as children, including herself. Isn't that, it can be easier to receive that tenderness, you know, that kind of unequivocal, unconditional tenderness for our beings, however they are. So yeah, it's a moment-to-moment practice. So the Buddha spoke about self and benefactor. Maybe some of you have just naturally found yourself a dear friend may arise. That's either, you know, you don't have to stress about does that fit into a benefactor or not. Sometimes a dear friend can be easy to have as one's loving kindness meditation object, if you will, object, subject. And even, as someone was saying earlier today, even with a benefactor, sometimes what will happen is we'll offer the wishes with full intention, loving kindness, and before you know it, something comes up in the mind that, you know, don't like about that person or that's unsettling. And then we can often like veer off into, oh, I'm not doing the practice right, or I have to get better at it, I have to speed up. And really, it's actually just, oh, here we are in the human condition. You know, we're not all perfect by any stretch. And we do, just by nature of being human beings, rub up against each other. So it's quite natural, actually, that when you're offering loving kindness to another, even another that you feel enormous gratitude for, that sometimes aversion will arise. And remember what I said earlier, this is a purification practice. So sometimes we can have more than just a little bit of aversion. It can just be a flood of aversion, you know, where you feel like you want to run out of the room, you know, or maybe some of you have had some nightmares. Sometimes nightmares can show up on a loving kindness retreat. It's kind of like a, you know, one way to relate to it is just it's sort of like an off-gassing, like a release, really. You don't have to grab onto it and become identified with it, and this is me, and it's something I need to work on and get rid of or get better at to be a good meditator, to be a good person. That's like, oof, that's a lot of work. And it doesn't, I don't know, doesn't necessarily lead to freedom. No, I'm not suggesting that we don't sometimes, obviously, work on, you know, diet and exercise and ways to improve our health or our well-being. But there's so many things in being human that we really can't control and manipulate. So how do we relate to that? How do we meet that with a wise mind and heart? Well, this practice really supports that a lot. And you can't always know that while you're in the middle of a retreat. It's so true, you know, it's like, particularly if you're sitting here feeling discouraged or maybe even a bit cynical, either one, just don't worry about it, you know. You'll see the fruits of these few days together, you know, as you shift back into your daily life. And even then, it's not like, oh, and now it's going to be like this. It's going to be like this from now on. What is ever like this from now on? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to be discouraging. It's also true that in my own personal experience, after practicing, you know, over the years, just feeling the fruits of the practice in my everyday life, and it's a very reliable practice. So I certainly don't want to discourage you with the way I'm speaking right now. It's more in service of encouraging you to not worry, to not spend too much time in worrying and fretting and trying to get yourself someplace that you're not. I mean, that in itself is suffering. You know, so we can always come home to the breath, to the body, to it's just like this right now. Can I feel some tenderness for that? Some even like a little halfway open window for that. You know, do I have to fight with what is? Can I trust that that's not personal or permanent? So these fruits of practice show up in our metta practice. So in this progression of benefactor self, again, if you want to add dear friend today, you can. There's another category that we'll work with this afternoon now, which is called the neutral person. The neutral person. And I will describe it. We'll do some practice with it, and I'll probably say this again while you're practicing. If it's not drawing you, if you're finding you're hearing instructions up here and really, no, it just feels right to stay with the benefactor or to stay with self, or dear friend. And actually, those four phrases, they're just way too much for me. You know, it might be that you have one phrase or one word or a felt sense. You know, as Bruni was saying yesterday, I said, you can start to trust your own flow with the practice and listen to that. And that said, if you want to explore working with a neutral person, it can be quite illuminating. And why is that? Why did the Buddha say neutral person? What did he even mean by neutral person? Well, a neutral person is in that category of someone that we might even see with some regularity or once in a while, but we don't really know them. So we don't, you know, and what that kind of means is we don't know them, is we don't even have like a strong draw towards them or resistance away from them. Sometimes people say, wow, it's really hard to find a neutral person. You know, and other times it's kind of interesting when you're on retreat, you can pick a neutral person. You know, someone who maybe, like, you don't really, you haven't, like, noticed yet. And that can be a really interesting neutral person, because you definitely notice the people that irritate you, right? And you definitely notice the people that you're attracted to, whether it's just I want to get to know them more, or it's a sexual attraction, or wherever you notice those people. You can notice the people that you feel maybe some projection onto, where you kind of envy them but then resent them, you know, like they're sitting like this, you know, or they walk so slow, or they walk too fast, or, you know, our minds can really go to town. So you run to actually pick someone who you're not having any reactivity towards or against. And for some of us, it might be, oh yeah, like what's coming to my mind right now, and I've never even seen the visual of the person, but every morning outside of my house, I have some lovely young children across the street. The yellow school bus comes to pick them up. So, you know, honestly, until this very moment, offering you these instructions, I have not thought about the person who drives that bus. But I would expect it's probably the same person every day, because that's their job. And so right now, maybe when I'm practicing with you, I might be sending loving kindness to that person. Might be a little harder because I can't visualize them, but maybe I'll just see the image of the bus and the kind of, you know, it's running and it's waiting, and, you know, the bus driver is very careful about waiting for the children to get on and off. So there's enough visuals there that I can imagine a human being at the wheel. We're not yet at driverless moving vehicles. Anyway, but if you can think of someone on retreat even, or someone in your daily life, maybe someone that is at the bank or the grocery store, or it could be a neighbor, really, a neighbor that, again, no strong towards or against, but you tend to see them every day. Could be someone at your workplace. Might be someone that you nod your head hello, but you really don't feel such a strong, you don't know them, you don't feel such a strong draw towards or against. So with the neutral person, we're really cultivating this unconditional loving kindness for all beings. And honestly, for some of us, the neutral person can be a real relief. You'll see, it'll be whatever it is for you. But it can really be a relief sometimes to just have space to experience the heart wishing well with no attachment of those results, because we don't really know them. So what can happen with a neutral person is we can get bored. We can lose the focus because they're not as interesting as someone we're really drawn to or we're really averse to. So with that, you really get to work with the mind that just gets distracted, bored, looking for some entertainment or stimulation. And you can just bring your attention back to the person and even dig in a little bit more, like, wow, this person, like, has a life like I do, you know, deals with the 10,000 joys and sorrows, disappointments, losses and gains, pleasure and pain. So it can become quite a reflection on our shared humanity. So again, I don't want to sound prescriptive because it's really your own exploration with this. So if maybe that's enough said, and we'll just find a comfortable position. And you might start by just bringing some loving kindness or kind attention to your body. For those that you were in the hall, I think this morning, later morning, Bonnie was doing a guided body practice. You know, if you want, you can take a little time just to rest in that, in your body, offering some warmth and care in an easy way. It might be just a gentle hello, a gentle bringing the attention to the head and the face, back of the head, sweeping down and through your body, the neck, shoulders, just with a sense of warmth and care. And the chest and back, torso and belly, lower back, whole pelvic area, and down through your legs and feet and arms and hands. It's like turning a light on. And if that feels not warm and inviting, don't force it. You know, you can rest in the sense of space. You can rest in the sense of sound. And just calling to mind now, if you haven't already, a neutral person, someone you have noticed, but not so much strongly drawn to or strongly averse to. Could be in your daily life, could be someone here on retreat. Might be a staff person that you've noticed walking faster through the building. Or maybe if you took a long walk around the loop, you noticed a neighbor. Just allowing a neutral person to come to mind. And as that appears in your mind, and perhaps you might take a reflection, take a few moments to reflect on that this being that I don't know indeed does have a full life like myself, experiences joys and sorrows, gains and losses, praise and blame. Pleasure and pain. And it's not to necessarily fix any of that or try to even imagine what it is. It's just recognizing this truth of being alive. And just see if you can connect with the phrases that you've been using. Offering to this person, may you be safe and protected. From inner and outer harm. May you be happy, peaceful. Contented. If you feel some, I shudder to use the word resistance, but if you feel some tension or tightness or it feels difficult, you can just bring your attention to that. Be present with that. And wish yourself, may you be at ease. May you accept yourself. May I accept myself just as it is right now. Now take your time. This is no rush. So you might spend a little time with yourself and feel some refortification and then go back, the neutral person. You know, maybe you be healthy and strong in whatever way that manifests for you. May you have ease in your life. And you know, it can be quite helpful to just be creative in this practice. Like if the phrases feel hard to connect with. For some people, it's more of a felt sense, or for some people, they can connect more with imagery. So, you know, when may you be safe and protected, maybe you just picture this being safe and protected. It's just in service of you connected with that wish of loving kindness. May you be happy, peaceful. May you feel health and strength. In whatever way that manifests for you. May you live with ease. As you go about your day. And just finding your own cadence, certainly your own phrases, phrases that are comfortable for you. And when your mind wanders, just come back. Whenever you notice it's off on a trail somewhere, you can just bring it back. Call that neutral person to mind. Remembering to relax in your body. Soften in your breath. There's nothing to achieve because it's already there. I'm coming back again and again. It doesn't matter how many times. We bring the attention back to the loving kindness practice. It's the coming back that actually strengthens, waters the seeds. May you be safe and protected. May you be peaceful, contented. May you experience the vitality in your being. May you live with ease. And coming back again to your neutral person. May all beings have happiness and the causes and conditions of happiness. May all beings have peace and the causes and conditions of peace. May all beings be free from suffering without exception. Thank you for your practice. So it's time for walking, and again, you can check in with yourself in terms of, as you're continuing with the loving kindness practice, you can stay with the neutral person. You can, if you're going outside, or maybe if you're doing walking inside, you might notice other neutral people around you. It's not like, oh, hi, neutral person. But, you know inside yourself. And, you know, maybe for that walking or part of that walking, they're your, who you're sending loving kindness to. You know, or someone walks by. It's kind of a sweet way to do loving kindness practice. And, you know, if you want to, you can also come back to yourself. You can do a whole walking with yourself or your benefactor in whatever way has been, calls itself to you, or a dear friend. Or if you feel kind of like, this is like, just I'm not connecting with it, you could do a walking where you're just paying attention to your feet, your body, sound, feeling your breath. Just doing a mindfulness practice. It's fine. Just trusting where your heart mind wants to land. Because we kind of know when it's not landing, when it's lost. And that's, just what the mind does. But then when you come back, it's like, oh, where does it want to land? Sometimes you just automatically hear the phrases in your head, or someone comes to mind. It's almost as if they're knocking on the door, send it to me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe offer some phrases for that person. Anyway, enough said. Enjoy your walking.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.